Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Our community is really stepping up and sponsoring a lot of our classes for our equestrian team.
MSU's equestrian team is hosting the first ever Appalachian Horse Revival.
The Moorhead community is invited to offer ideas for a downtown mural.
Nearly 7.5 pounds of bees were taken from the walls of a Knott County home.
Volunteers are needed for an advisory committee overseeing the Daniel Boone National Forest.
Court records contend Governor Matt Bevin has blocked nearly 3,000 social media accounts.
In sports, rounds teams are back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 61 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Moorhead State University Equestrian Team and Department of Agricultural Sciences are hosting the first ever Appalachian Horse Revival. The money made from the revival will go towards funding the equestrian team and their horses. MSU Farm Manager Joe Fraley says the event is still in need of sponsors.
We hope people understand the motive behind it is to help support our students and our horses that the students use. That's our idea behind as far as having the show and relinking it to the community and hopefully having a good turnout where people can have a good time.
The event will be held at the Derrickson Agricultural Complex from May 23rd to the 25th. Admission is $5.
Officials with Moorhead Sister Cities and Moorhead Rotary are searching for a theme idea for a downtown community mural. The committee is encouraging community participation and involvement in the project. The vision for the mural includes facets of the diverse community and world. Submissions should include an idea that represents Moorhead and relates to the missions of Sister Cities and Rotary. The organizational boards will choose the best overall theme. Residents may submit theme ideas to MooreheadKYSisterCities@yahoo.com. The deadline for submission is June 1st.
Kentucky residents are starting to see more foxes, deer, and birds as wildlife baby season kicks off. While many people are worried about the safety of their pets, experts at the Kentucky Wildlife Center are trying to dispel common misconceptions. Joni Kling of Hamburg says the large amount of wildlife activity brings forth a lot of mixed feelings.
Half of them are all excited and want to save the foxes and put out dog food and everything else like that for them, bins of water, and that's not good. And then the other ones are convinced that they're all rabid and are going to be eating their children and their pets and so on.
Experts say it's still important to keep an eye on your pets and make sure that they aren't getting too close to any wildlife nests or dens.
A Knott County homeowner discovered a massive honeybee colony inside the walls of his home. According to EKBTV, homeowner Randy Thompson has had the bee infestation for several years and knew enough about honeybees to know not to call an exterminator. Johnson County's bee man, Jason Conley, says the situation was a massive one.
It ain't something that's going to take me 20 minutes. I'm going to be here probably 6 or 8 hours ago.
Nearly 7.5 pounds of bees were collected from the residents and relocated.
Federal forestry officials are seeking volunteers for an advisory committee that serves the Daniel Boone National Forest. Forest Supervisor Dan Olson tells WKYT they are looking for 8 new members for the 15-person Daniel Boone Resource Advisory Committee. Committee members review proposed projects, determine funding, and provide recommendations to Olson. The committee typically meets in person once or twice a year to review project proposals. Committee members must reside in Kentucky and, for travel purposes, should reside in close proximity to the National Forest. Applicants must complete 2 forms that are available online and provide background information and membership interest. Completed forms must be received no later than May 22nd. We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Newly released court records say Governor Matt Bevin has blocked nearly 3,000 social media accounts in the last 2 years. The records are part of an ongoing federal lawsuit against Bevin by the Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky. The union filed on behalf of two Kentuckians who say being blocked violates their First Amendment rights. Records say Bevin's staffers hid online comments, including the words such as womb, menstruation, uterus, booger, tax returns, and Trump. The records also say Bevin ordered staffers in 2017 to sweep out the trash on Facebook. ACLU attorneys say screenshots of blocked comments show 90% were critical of Bevin.
Brady Industries has announced a cooperative plan with BMW. WMKY's Naya Andwaza has the story.
Brady announced the plan concerns the future supply of Series 5000X and 6000X automotive aluminum sheet. According to the Daily Independent, a comprehensive closed-loop recycling strategy leverages Brady's location in Ashland, Kentucky, which is in close proximity to BMW's car production plant in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Brady officials say the company intends to become the first North American rolling mill to use 100% green inputs from inception, targeting 20% lower emissions than competitors. Brady is building a major aluminum manufacturing mill in East Park Industrial Center. The project is expected to bring hundreds of jobs to the Northeast Kentucky region. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andwaza.
Brain science can help explain why people with serious addictions are so out of control and why many addicts have trauma in their history. Jessica Holton is a licensed clinical social worker and addiction specialist. She says in her practice, almost all of the addicts have trauma in their background, as well as substance abuse disorders. Holton says both addiction and trauma take over the limbic system, the animal part of the brain, bypassing the rational decision-making part.
We often think that it's a choice, a moral failure, but really the science shows that the survival part of the brain, the limbic system, actually gets hijacked for those who have a true addiction.
Holton says drugs make the system put out pleasure messages. Fairly quickly, serious substance abuse can overwork the limbic system's ability to create pleasure, which is why addicts say they no longer enjoy it.
More than 600,000 Kentuckians, many of them children, are going hungry. That's according to a new Map the Meal Gap report by Feeding America, which looked at food insecurity in all 120 counties in the state. Children are especially vulnerable when it comes to hunger. According to the report, food insecurity among Kentucky children is 18%, compared with 15% for the overall population. During the summer, children don't have access to regular school nutrition programs. Currently, the federal summer food service program helps feed children in need when school is not in session. Jamie Sizemore of Feeding America says the program's strict requirements on how and when children can be fed don't always align with life in rural communities.
Right now, it has to be a congregated meal. They have to actually sit down and serve that meal. That's just not viable when you're living in rural Kentucky. So we're working really hard to try to feed those people, but it's just a Band-Aid. We've got to get to the root causes. We've got to look for other ways. And until we do that, food insecurity is going to persist.
The rising cost of a meal is another contributor to food insecurity. The report found that since 2017, food prices have been steadily inching upward.
AARP Ohio is joining the fight against a clean energy bill the organization says actually is a bailout for two failing power plants on the backs of consumers. An Ohio issue subcommittee is debating House Bill 6, which would generate an estimated $300 million annually for clean energy production through a surcharge on customers' monthly bills. AARP Associate State Director of Advocacy, Jason Smith, says the bill is filled with vague language and hidden fees.
Many of our members already have difficulties with their budgets with soaring prescription drug prices and other considerations. What may not seem like a lot to folks working every day, but for folks who are on that fixed income, even little monthly shifts can have a huge impact on their overall budget.
First Energy's two Ohio nuclear plants would get the bulk of an estimated $300 million from the new Ohio Clean Air Program. Supporters say the measure will save ratepayers money through the elimination of existing energy efficiency programs and contracts.
A record number of Kentuckians are registered to vote in this month's primary election. Paul Miles has the numbers.
The Secretary of State's office says 3,421,796 Kentuckians are registered to vote in the May 21st primary. Democratic voters represent 49% of the electorate, Republican voters 42%, and 9% of voters are affiliated with another party or as other. The total registered represents a net increase of more than 18,000 voters since the 2018 general election. I'm Paul Miles.
Authorities have identified the man killed in a head-on collision in Wolf County earlier this morning. According to Kentucky State Police, 42-year-old Lonnie Harvey of Jackson was killed when a woman traveling northbound on Kentucky 15 crossed the median, striking his vehicle. The crash occurred just after midnight. The Breathitt County coroner pronounced Harvey dead after he was transported to Kentucky River Medical Center in Jackson. The woman is expected to survive her injuries. The crash is still under investigation.
A former Ashland cardiologist convicted of healthcare fraud is scheduled for sentencing today. Richard Paulus is facing the possibility of 10 years in prison. The sentencing comes after District Judge David Bunning rejected multiple requests by Paulus for a new trial. Paulus was convicted in October 2016 for fraudulently billing Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurers for medically unnecessary and invasive heart procedures. Evidence at his trial showed he performed many invasive procedures and falsified records to exaggerate patients' conditions to justify the procedures. Paulus and his attorneys are asking for probation, citing his former reputation as a physician. Defense attorneys say a 10-year sentence would be like a life sentence for the 71-year-old.
A man charged in connection to a fatal shooting at the Fox Club in Lexington is scheduled to appear in court today. Gage Phillips is expected to make his first court appearance after allegedly helping James Raglan, who was accused of murder in the shooting, to escape. Police tell LEX 18 the shooting happened on January 26th and killed 27-year-old Aisha Edwards after a fight broke out between several people outside the club. Phillips is scheduled for an arraignment today.
A scam alert has been issued involving a computer virus that has been blamed for defrauding people of approximately $92,000. Attorney General Andy Beshear told 44 News his office has received multiple complaints concerning the virus over the past 2 months. Yesterday, a Jefferson County resident lost $89,000 to the computer scam. If a person suspects their computer is infected with a virus or malware, they are urged to immediately update the computer's security software.
Bourbon Central Elementary was evacuated for a gas leak today. LAX 18 reports North Meadow Hill Road, Castle Boulevard, and Bethlehem Road are closed at this time. Nearby homes were also evacuated. Buses aided in evacuating students. They were taken to Bourbon County High School, where parents could go pick them up. A letter from Bourbon County Schools was sent to parents confirming all students were safe and the evacuation was a precaution. Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Tomorrow, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 78. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. On Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 70. On Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely before 10, cloudy skies and a low around 54 degrees. Looking at the temperatures in the surrounding area, in Flemingsburg, it is 69 degrees, Maysville, 68 degrees, in Ashland, 85 degrees, Inez, 82, Grayson, 74, Lexington, 71, and right here in Moorhead, 74 degrees.
On our feature story this afternoon, a proposed regulation prohibiting the tattooing of scarred skin is being discussed on May 28th in a Frankfurt public hearing. A local tattoo artist is against the idea. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
If the regulation comes into effect, tattoo artists will no longer be able to tattoo over scarred tissue. Michael Davis is an artist and owner of Back Alley Tattoo in Moorhead. He says the regulation would be stifling the freedom of those who wish to cover up scars that have deep emotional weight.
A lot of times we'll get people that have scars that they want to cover that they got during, you know, incredibly dark periods in their life. They're very self-conscious of it. And that limits them to, okay, what kind of clothing can I wear? What kind of places can I go? And when people see a lot of these scars, there's a certain amount of stigma that's going to be attached to those.
Davis says that the evidence of health complications with tattooing scarred skin is not substantial. And even if it was, with a fair warning, people should have the freedom to decide if they want to follow through with tattooing over scarred tissue.
If I explain that to my client who has scar tissue they want to cover, if I make all of that risk known, if I say, hey, there are risks associated with this outside the normal risk of getting a tattoo, here they are, and I lay it all out in front of them. If they still choose to have that procedure done, that's their choice. That's their right to do that.
Davis says there's already regulations in place for what kind of skin can be tattooed.
You know, you're not supposed to tattoo sunburns. No open wounds. If it's an obvious infected wound, moles that have unusual shape or color. And I don't think there's a tattooer in the state who wouldn't agree with those and say, yeah, those are all good things that we should not do. But now this one, basically they're just saying, well, you know, we haven't made any changes to the tattoo regulations in however many years. We thought we would change some things.
Davis thinks that this new regulation is asserting more control and is hypocritical to other body modifications.
This one is like you're trying to tell this person what they can and can't do with their body. It's one more step of our elected officials trying to say, you can't do what you want with your body. Where I could go, if I wanted to get a nose job, I could do that without a blink of an eye.
Davis says he thinks that this type of regulation can't be enforced effectively.
What would stop me from just saying, well, I only do work on scars on this certain day? Are they just going to send the inspectors out randomly hoping to catch somebody doing it?
Those who have a vested interest in the proposed regulation can attend a public hearing in Frankfurt on May 28th, but must get permission to do so. To attend, email chfsregs@ky.gov. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Round County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Rowan County teams are back in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County baseball team hosts Boyd County tonight. The Vikings are 25-3 on the season, coming off a 14-4 win in five innings over Fleming County on the road last night. The Lions are 14-6 on their season, and they have 9 wins in the last 10 games. Rowan head coach Scott Collins says Boyd County has historically a good program.
We know that they're a high-quality team, so you know, we're going to have to play, you know, one of our better games tonight to, you know, if we, you know, to give us a chance to win. So, you know, we've got Mason Moore going tonight. So, we'll see what happens.
First pitch at Don G. Harden Field is set for 6 p.m. The Rowan County softball team hits the road tonight. The 17-9 Vikings head to Ashland Blazer to take on the 16-15 Kittens. Head coach Larry Sloan says tonight will be a tough test for his team.
Ashland's one of the better teams in the region. We got to get good pitching, make and play strong defense. And usually if you can do those two things, you have a really good chance to win.
Game time tonight in Ashland is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other regional softball matchups tonight, Elliott County hosts Bath County, Lewis County hosts Raceland, and West Carter travels to Morgan County. All three of those matchups are set to start at 6 p.m. Looking at baseball across the 16th region tonight, East Carter hosts Fairview at 5:30. West Carter travels to Elliott County. Ashland Blazer travels to West Virginia to face off with Cabell Midland. Bath County travels to Bracken, and Morgan County travels to Menifee County. All four of those matchups are set for 6 p.m. this evening. We'll have scores from all of tonight's baseball and softball games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Morehead State University softball team is gearing up for their final weekend of Ohio Valley Conference play. The Eagles face with Southeast Missouri for a doubleheader on the road on Saturday. In spite of a 2-39 season, head coach Samantha Jones is focusing on the positive, and that's something she's teaching her players.
How you face these challenges and how you overcome these now will help you better prepare for when the real world comes outside of college and when you're dealing with some things, whether it's family issues or whether it's losses in your family or financial issues. But you're now going to be able to know how to mentally and physically get through those things because of what you're going through now.
Game times are set for 2 and 4 p.m. on Saturday. Live stats will be available through the Red Hawks website at gosoutheast.com. The Baseball Eagles begin a three-game series with Murray State tomorrow. MSU stands at 12-9 in conference play with a 29-17 overall record. The Racers are in fourth place in Ohio Valley Conference standings with just one conference win more than the Eagles. Morehead has won the last three matchups against Murray and lead 13-12 for wins since the two teams first began play in 2010. Game time on Friday is set for 5 p.m. They meet at 2 on Saturday and again at 1 on Sunday. Live stats will be available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles have received their eighth public recognition by the NCAA, this time for earning a multi-year academic progress rate in the top 10% of all squads. The NCAA honors selected Division I sports teams each year by publicly recognizing their latest multi-year academic progress rate. The honors for this year include the previous 4 years leading up to the 2017-18 season. It's part of the overall Division I academic reform effort. The APR tracks the academic progress of each student-athlete on scholarship and is determined by eligibility, retention, and graduation, and provides a measure of each team's academic performance within their respective sports. MSU's beach volleyball team has also earned the APR recognition this year. The University of Kentucky tied a school record with six teams receiving public recognition awards for their academic progress rate scores, according to the NCAA announcement that came out yesterday. Men's and women's basketball, men's and women's golf, gymnastics, and volleyball were the programs recognized. The Wildcat squads received the honors for placing in the top 10% of the Division I schools in their respective sports. Having six teams earn the APR Top 10 award ties the school record of six set a year ago. It's also the first time that a UK squad has won in eight consecutive years, as this marks eight in a row for men's golf. Men's basketball earned the honor for fifth consecutive year and sixth time overall. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Omaha Beach will go into surgery less than 24 hours after scratching from the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky News Network's Will Clark has the story.
Trainer Richard Mandela says Omaha Beach will have surgery today in Lexington to address his entrapped epiglottis.
As brokenhearted as I was yesterday, I'd be a lot worse than that had I run him and he ran up the racetrack, and I'd be kicking myself forever. Why did I do this?
Mandela says the horse will miss the remainder of the Triple Crown season. Instead, will likely be aimed at either the Haskell or Travers later in the summer. At Churchill Downs, I'm Will Clark.
And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a three-game series this weekend. Game times are at 5 p.m. tomorrow, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as interest rates continue to rise following comments on Wednesday by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 122.35 at 26,307.79. The S&P 500 was down 6.21 at 2917.52, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 12.87 at 8,036.77. Fed Chairman Powell said yesterday that recently low inflation pressures may just be transitory, hinting that a rate cut may not be on the horizon, which disappointed traders. And of course, Powell's comments sparked a sharp sell-off yesterday in late trading. The Fed Chairman's comments followed the Fed's decision to leave interest rates unchanged, citing lackluster inflation. Ahead of the meeting, President Trump had asked the central bank to actually cut rates and increase stimulus. The drop in stocks today also coincided with comments from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who accused Attorney General William Barr of lying to Congress. Investors would be wary of more partisan infighting that could hurt the chances of the White House and Congress working together on an infrastructure bill. In earnings news, Under Armour and Dunkin' Brands both reported better-than-expected results. Under Armour was up about 3.5%, while Dunkin' Brands inched up 0.1%, and Tempur Sealy also rose 7.4% on stronger-than-forecast results. Tesla shares were up more than 3% after the company unveiled a plan to raise up to $2 billion. This would include a $10 million purchase of the stock by CEO Elon Musk. In the commodities markets, oil was down 3%, finishing at $61.60 a barrel. Gold was down almost 1% at $1,272.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a weak day, with the Stock 600 down 0.6%. And in Asia, results were mixed, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.5% and the Nikkei down 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Merck, while the worst performers were Dow and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Teleflex and Advanced Micro Devices, and the worst performers were Fluor and Cognizant Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger up 19 cents at $25.77, UPS up 89 cents at $105.51, Fifth Third Bank up 33 cents at $28.83, Marathon Petroleum down $1.26 at $58.69, Humana up $1.24 at $247.40, and Yum Brands was down 19 cents to finish at $101.75. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
St. Clair Healthcare will sponsor the Kentucky State Police's Mobile Substance Abuse Education Exhibit from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. The 30-foot trailer will be located on the main campus of St. Clair Regional in Moorhead. The exhibit features videos to raise awareness for substance abuse addiction and prevention.
Taking one more look at the weather forecast for this week, a 60% chance of showers tonight with a low around 61 degrees. Tomorrow, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 78. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 61. On Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again with a high near 70. On Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely before 10 p.m. with a low around 54. And on Sunday, a 20% chance of showers with a high near 69 degrees. Temperatures right now in Flemingsburg, 69. Maysville, 68. Ashland, 85, Inez, 82, Grayson, 74, Lexington, 71, and right here in Moorhead, 74 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Tandy Wallingford, Naya Andwaza, Brian Courtney, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Paul Miles and Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Grant Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindbergh for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.